This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17 in New York City at the ESPN Studios. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Hello, Bart, Hahn. I'm nice.
Man, I'm telling you right now, I was on the morning show. I was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning.
I'm not a smart man.
But I know what a foul is.
You don't call that lady the game, son. You let her play. This is supposed to be physicality. We heard Tom Loke yesterday tell us when he get back, he ain't calling no fouls. No blood, no foul.
It's amazing how we had that wonderful conversation with Tony. And then last night, I'm screaming at Scott Foster and his crew. But I got to tell you, man, it goes beyond that. For those joining us again, we are talking about the Knicks-Nets game. Two great NBA games last night, by the way.
One great one, one good one. One great one, one good one.
Because when Devin Booker, we'll get to that. I do want to ask you that, though, because you're right. Once Devin Booker goes out of that game, it kind of takes a little sizzle out. But it was a good ending.
Yeah.
Chris Paul made some plays.
Yes.
But Steph Curry couldn't do enough.
That's my point.
They did a great job locking him down.
But you know what this sets up, right? Man, he's the Curry stopper. Then Curry got to go for 75 next game.
Bridges?
Yeah. Oh, Bridges. Like, everybody, do not gloat, Bridge.
Yeah. Stay humble.
Bump your brakes. Stay humble.
It's way too early. And you see him again on Friday. So,
Like
I told you, they're going to play twice in a week.
Steph's going to go for 50.
Yeah, we'll see. So, but I do want to ask you this because you really don't have a rooting interest in the game last night, everybody in New York seemed to have.
Yeah.
And that, of course, you know, Nets-Knicks. Mm-hmm. Neutral site game.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something?
I had to throw that out there.
You heard Harden address it, too.
It was a bit of a neutral site.
How the hell does Spike, did he get the team, play the team seats? How the hell he sitting there with that future suit looking like Miami Vice? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I mean, but he had how about the merch that he had?
Yeah, it was the basketball merch
with a net on it. That was special. We got to get Spike on. If Spike's listening, call in. I need to know what that was about because I kind of like that. It was. I first thought he was holding a ball, somebody cut a net and gave him the ball. Like, what is this?
It was actually
a merch.
He had his next movie in there. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's a hot fire right there. Where was Tracy? Where was Tracy?
Tracy was on the baseline.
Okay.
Tracy was there. He was on the baseline. Now, let me ask you this. I got to turn off all this, everything that's going on here. 888 say ESPN, by the way. 888-729-3776 is the number. We want you to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up. Oh, yes, it is. Fans are hype. Return to glory at Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. We will get to your calls because I got to hear from you on this because I was getting a lot of smoke from Nets fans. Well,
why they attack you? You just work for the team.
I hardly noticed it in my mentions, like 10 of them. But it's still, like last night's game, I need to ask you, Bart Scott, you're a Pistons fan.
Yes.
You're a Detroit guy. So for you, this was just a game.
Yeah, just entertainment.
Was it a good game? Because I feel like I missed a really good game.
It was a great game.
Because I was so mad for so many reasons.
I feel like
I missed a good game.
You had the ultimate team going against the ultimate star. Right? And listen, I understand Harden is a star. Yeah. But Harden's still trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure out
figured it out in the first half.
Yeah, but he's trying to figure out his new role. When came down to winning time, you saw Durant make all the right plays, whether it was him, coming with the dagger or being able to facilitate. Mm-hmm. You saw him doing what he needed to do.
Closer.
Especially when they came out and they did the right thing. I hate when they come out and you double somebody, but you do it halfway. I need Derrick Rose to even close out that space even more. The dude's 7 feet. If you're not up on him, he doesn't see you. I mean, I need you all up in. I need your hands. If you poke me an eyeball, whatever. Yeah, I need it right there. You know what I mean? I need to go and cover his whole grill. I don't need that half-hearted, hi, I'm here. So you find it, you know what I mean? Because he's going to get it. But I tell you what, he came down, he made the right plays. And you see the difference in basketball acumen. Right? And we always talk about acumen. We talk about games come down to moments.
Mm-hmm.
And you just knew that when it came down to the moments, a guy like Kevin Durant, it's not just his skill. It's his basketball IQ and knowing how to win. And he's been in those moments 1,000 times, right? And he always comes up. He trusts himself. Yes, in the most part, he comes up big,
mm-hmm.
right? And you see the Knicks without a true number one, a star, not knowing how to make winning plays, right? Because all things equal, I thought the Knicks matched their energy. And even though knowing that the more talented team is on the other side, Fournier coming off 1-2 catch, bad release, rotation, splash. All that, they had the moments. But when it came down to the pivotal decisions between the stars, one star was a smart basketball player. They let his emotions get involved, right?
Yep.
See, we call that insecurity, right? Like, that's insecurity, right? You want so much credit, right? You need so much love from the people, right?
Yeah.
That you get emotional, right? Because you feel like I'm being treated different than the other guy. Well, you're not the other guy. The other guy is generational. You have to understand your place. See, that's the problem. You have to understand who you are and what you're going to get away with and what you're not going to get away with. Did I not know that I wasn't a great Hall of Fame player? Yes! So when it came between me and Tom Brady, I knew it was always Tom Brady. So I couldn't get emotional. I had to stay within myself, right? Ray Lewis can get emotional with Tom Brady, right? Because he may get that call. Me, meh.
Well, it's interesting you say that because that's exactly what Julius Randle talked about after game. Again, this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Julius Randle statistically had a good game, almost a triple-double, but did not come up big late.
Yep.
A couple of shots that he missed late. And then gets a tech as well, which felt like a little bit of a turning point moment,
yes.
But it wasn't the one. It was several. And I'm going to tell you right now,
I'm not a premium. At that point, points
the conversation is about fouls and free throw discrepancy. And that's what you're going to hear Tom Thibodeau talk about. You're going to hear Julius Randle talk about the foul situation and what he was told by an official during the game about why he's not getting calls. The guy only took two threes. Out of 22 shots, he took two threes.
A lot of step backs.
Going to the basket, but he was getting to the rim, getting to the basket, and only took two free throws. So for him, he felt like, what's going on? I just want to add here that we're doing this because this is the audio we have. This is what the narrative was after the game by the team. This is not what I believe. What I feel about what's going on with this team, Bart kind of touched on, and I'll explain it. But first, let's hear from Julius Randle and what he said he was told and what happened in last night's game that really bothered him. So basically, the NBA officials are saying, hey, Julius, what you need to do is flop. If I'm Adam Silver, I got a problem with this. This is not what we want in the game. Stronger players who are able to play through contact and not look like they're getting hit because they're strong. And I know Shaq said, you got to just finish. You got to finish. Shaq, you were 7 feet and 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work for a guy who's 6'9", 250. It doesn't work the same. No, it doesn't. So that's the only defense I will give. Wait. That's the only defense I'm going to give here, though. LeBron went through this, too, until he started flopping. It's a true story. I remember this. I covered it. LeBron James used to say, I don't get the calls. It used to frustrate him. He started flopping. He started getting calls.
You know what we call that?
What do you call it?
Human nature. It's human nature.
All right. Let me first, though, get to Tom Thibodeau.
Okay.
Of course, you want to make sure he will, of course, take up for his player. Mm-hmm. He, too, talked about the way Julius Randle's being officiated.
Something's not right. I'm watching what's going on both ways. And, hey, look, they're a good team. They played well. But I know Julius is driving that ball pretty darn hard. And I'm pissed.
So, you know a fine's coming. And that's all right. He'll pay it. That's Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Okay. Your thoughts on that?
Like, we've seen that, right? Talked to Tone yesterday.
Yep.
We understand that this is the basketball environment in which we play in. You got to get bigger. You got to get stronger. You got to finish. You got to go in there. If that's the case, go in there big. It's not like they were calling offensive fouls on him, right? Go up big. Go up strong. Because you are bigger. You are stronger than those guys. You're not going to get those calls. That has been the test. It has always been that way. It has always been that way. Does it make it right? No. But use that to your advantage.
Is James Harden strong or weak?
But he don't
I'm
get
asking
those
the question.
But remember what the argument
was. He does
was.
Too. Well, you went to the line. He was parading to the line in the first half of this game.
Okay. What was the narrative about James Harden and Trae Young this year? They weren't getting the calls, right? And he was down. So he had to figure out. He's still muscling through stuff. Yeah, he's big and strong. And a lot of times he don't get the fouls. He used to because it was just so animated, right? So now a lot of times you do that animation stuff.
Yep.
And what they do, they look at him like, well, what do we want to do? And you have to understand, too.
All right.
Understand the referees. And listen, when I played in the league, it was referees that you got the extra step with. And it was referees that will call every hold, every grab, every single thing that you did.
Yep.
Listen, when we go through our breakdown of who's officiating the game, we have a scouting report.
Right.
And some of these guys, remember, every referee has a day job, right? You know what I mean? Every referee has a day job. And when we had the ones that were former cops, judges. We knew we can assault the hell out of people. We was like, oh, boys, we going to get to play today. Somebody going to die, Craig. We putting everybody to sleep. I'm putting cases on all you. I'm the police. Right? Because we knew that they were tough guys.
Right.
Every once in a while, we get these little soft dudes that were architects. That was, you know what I mean? You know, some of these guys were lawyers. They were sympathetic and empathetic to the soft guys, right? So we knew, okay, man, we can't talk stuff to anybody or the referees. We can't complain because they're going to get in their feelings. And when it comes to a certain type of call, we won't get it, right?
Right.
Is it the referee's fault that Mitchell Robinson turned sideways and not only hit the guy with his arm but hit him with his hip too? All they had to do was square up. So those are the things, right?
That leads me to where I'm going. All right. Now, that's something that you said that I think needs to be said, because first and foremost, I thought what you said out of the gate is 1,000% correct, if there's such a thing as 1,000%.
Yeah. You just did it. You said it's a thing, it's
I'm
a thing.
Call it 1,000%.
And here, this is our world. We can make
so
up whatever. Right.
So in our world, there's 1,000%, which means it's really, really true.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said is right. Stars get the calls. And guys who are – you might be an all-star.
Yep.
You might be an all-NBA player, but it doesn't make you a star.
Yeah.
And there's just a different level. And what I think Julius Randle, and if you're a Knicks fan, and in the NBA you know this as you watch games all around the league, some guys will get that call and some guys won't.
Yes.
Some guys will get the benefit and some guys won't. And the teams that have the stars are generally going to win.
Yeah.
Now, the Nets have two stars. They dominated the game, one in the first half, one in the second half. And with those two stars, with the Knicks not having any stars, the Nets beat them by two.
Yeah.
Think about that. So what I want to say is that that's why I asked you, was it a great game? Because I was too miserable to enjoy it. I was too frustrated to enjoy it.
It was great.
Now here's the foundation of my frustration. What you said was interesting because you talked about one player making smart plays.
Yeah.
It's fair to say the Knicks are not a smart team. They have a smart coach. But as a team, collectively, they do dumb things.
Yeah.
And it's maddening. And it's been going on all year. And this is why. Jay Will said this morning. I'll give him credit because I can't deny it. My concern is this team that was the fourth seed last year and made the playoffs for the first time in 8 years, they might not make the playoffs. And you know why? Because the East is better and they're not one of the smart teams.
Yeah.
You can't. Chris Paul wins games because he's smart.
Yeah.
Because you have the one guy who just understands the game, gets everybody organized, knows situation, knows what, like up four late in the second quarter, going into the half. You're saying to yourself, if you're on the Knicks, lock this thing down, make sure it's no worse than four at halftime.
Yeah.
It was a 1-point game.
Yeah.
Then you come out of halftime. And this is where it's really egregious if you're the Knicks. And this is where I really get frustrated, because if I'm Tom Thibodeau, if I'm that coaching staff, I'm looking at my team. And I'm saying to myself, how the hell are we over 500? Because we come out of half and we're the worst team in the league. Statistically, look it up. The worst team in the league coming out of the locker room for the third quarter. And they give up 12 straight points. And they do it night after night. So they're always trying to climb out of a hole. Bart, self-inflicted wounds, that's not the sign of an unlucky team. That's the sign of an unintelligent team.
Yeah.
Not understanding, like, hey, you know what? We're pretty bad at this. We need to be better. We need to be more focused. We need to play harder. They don't play hard coming out of the half.
Yeah.
They play soft. They get run over, and they've lost games because of it.
Yeah.
So anybody that's trying to come up with the referee issue and anything else, it's Kemba. Well, you get Kemba out of it. Yeah, they look better without Kemba in the lineup, but it's not just Kemba.
Yeah.
This is the problem. The third quarters are just an example of this team's biggest issue, which is the fact that they are really not collective. They don't have a smart leader who understands time, situation, score, don't take a tech late.
Yeah.
Like all the little things that you need to know when you're going to be a good team, you have to have a guy that's your leader that does that.
Yeah.
Julius Randle is a talented basketball player. He is not a leader.
Yeah,
not like that. And that's why this team at 500, well, just a game over, that's pretty much what they are.
He has an inferiority complex.
I don't know if it's that. I just think he is what he is, and you're asking him to be more than what he is.
No, inferiority complex means that you always feel like you have to prove something to somebody, right? You don't have to prove nothing to nobody. The only person respect that you deserve or you want are the people in that locker room. you can't really control how people perceive you outside of the building. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, how dare you, like, not give me a call? I'm a superstar. No, you're not. You have to have self-awareness.
But in that moment,
yes,
you can't turn and start barking at referees when you know it's a three-point, whatever. What was it, three-point game when he got the tech? I got to look it up.
But it's
you just don't do that.
Because he gets emotional, right? Because it's like, look at me. Everybody look at me. I'm good. Look at me. I'm a star. No, you're a star on this team. You're a star. You're not a superstar. And you don't get the – LeBron could have did that. They would have walked away from
LeBron. It's a two-point game.
Look, LeBron would have walked away, and they went away with that, right? But this is the thing, right?
2-point game, Bart, with 96 seconds left.
And you give it up points for points
as a premium. And you gave a point away.
Right. And then Mitchell Robinson comes down in the foul, dumb foul, late in the shot clock, and that's three. So that's three. So you're always fighting. Fournier comes down here to hit a big pivotal shot, come off the bench.
Yes.
Cold, right?
Great
come
play.
Off and just do it. And it gets you there. So that it was enough plays to be made. You have to understand how many possessions you got left and how many of those you have to win the game. All right, so who's their starters, right? Julius Randle, right?
Yeah.
Robinson, Mitchell Robinson.
Again, another guy that's got a lot of physical talent, but there's not a very smart player.
He's ogre. Burks, right?
Alec Burks is actually a smart player.
Right, okay. Fournier.
He's a good player. Evan Fournier is a good player. He's not a good defender.
Yeah, R.J. Barrett, right?
Well, R.J. was sick, didn't play the second
half.
Okay,
right.
I like to think R.J. is a smart player.
So the point is, Randle, -8. Robinson, -10. Burks, -11.
They're your starters.
Fournier, -3. Now, when you go to the bench, you're kind of good.
But that's why they're good.
You got Quickly, +9.
But that's why they're
good. D-Rose, +11. Noel, +8.
You're missing my point.
Top it. That's what I'm saying.
Their only reason why they're over 500 because their bench is one of the best benches in the league.
My point.
So that's my point, too. And let's just put a bow on it here because we've got more to get to. Again, we'll get to your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. My point is this, this team has a smart coach. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a smart leader on the court. And it's not being disrespectful to Julius Randle. It's reality. He's a good talent. But when you're asking him to be the centerpiece, you need somebody who has a better basketball IQ of an understanding of what not to do. Not a one-handed, lazy pass. Yeah. Not some decisions where you dribble out the shot clock and then hand it to a teammate with 1 second left in the shot clock. These are things you don't do when you're a smart player, especially when you know, I have to value this possession. I need a good possession here. That's it. So they are forever in the search of the leader, the Dame Lillard, the maestro. They still need it. And until they get it, Knicks fans, this is what you got. This is the best. But
you got a good team.
As I want to just finish and say, I probably missed a good game last night because I was too miserable.
I didn't. I was enjoying it.
Yeah, a lot of people said it was a great game.
It was shot for shot, man. It was the energy was there, but you kind of knew that if it came down to a decision with Kevin Durant that he was going to make the right one.
Yeah, all right. So we'll continue with this conversation. Of course, we need to get to something else too. Last night, you had a very bold prediction yesterday when we talked about the college football playoff rankings that were going to come out last night. They did come out. And we'll give you a little Wendy's rankings reaction. Rankings reaction brought to you by Wendy's. It's better breakfast o'clock at Wendy's. So you can get a bacon or sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit for $1. Yeah, I'll take one right now. So this is what we get. This is the second to last, I guess, rankings. So as expected, so Georgia stays at 1. Michigan does replace Ohio State at 2. Now, you thought Cincinnati would get the 3 spot. They didn't. Right. Alabama has a 3 spot. And then
that's weird.
Cincinnati goes stays
weird,
at 4.
That's wrong. That's
but
bad.
Here's the one you correctly predicted, and that's Oklahoma State at 5. And as you said yesterday, it sets up the possibility. The committee now has the option if Oklahoma State beats Baylor.
Bad. They beat them up because they're 8.
They're a high-ranked team. Right. Yeah. So you give them – if they perform well against Baylor in the Big 12 championship game on Saturday and Alabama – loses. Alabama's out. Oklahoma State is in. Now, if Alabama wins and Oklahoma State also an impressive win, Cincinnati might be out because Cincinnati, all they can do is beat Houston, who's like, I think, 24th.
Yeah, 23rd or something. 23rd. Like that,
So while that's a good win, beating Baylor is a quality win, and Oklahoma State already has a couple of quality wins on their ledger. So it really does set up the potential of having the excuse of taking Cincinnati out of the 4, and you did predict that. So that is something certainly to keep an eye
which,
on.
Which sets up, if that happens, if Cincinnati falls out of the top 5 and they go undefeated, that sets up Fickell to leave. Like, I can't win here. You know, I can go undefeated.
Well, they are meeting today. By the way, the committee's meeting today to talk about expanding the playoffs. And if there's ever a reason to, Cincinnati's giving you that reason.
But you know it's not going to happen that fast. It's still a couple years away.
Well, it's certainly not going to happen this year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is a couple years away.
Well, I mean,
So if I'm Fickell, I'm like, listen, what else can I do? I won every game.
His job's open, and he's done such a great job at Cincinnati, not just this year, the last two years.
Like, throw me the bag at Oklahoma. Like, Oklahoma.
And he's coached at a big-time program before. It's not like it would be new to him.
Yeah, so if you go to Oklahoma, you know, you talk about star power, and then once again, the little team misses out.
We shall
see. Good
luck, Chuck. All right, we've got your calls to get to, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, not to be forgotten, as we mentioned earlier, it was a wild night in the West for a whole bunch of reasons in the NBA, so we'll get to that. But first, Bart's going to tell us about Advanced Auto Parts.
We're brought to you by DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. We know you have places to go, so don't let your battery hold you back. Get an auto battery that is trusted from the start. Count on the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard batteries to get you on the road. Available at your local auto parts and participating CarQuest stores.
Mm-hmm.
Back after this. Tell us why you're mad, son. Petty Wednesdays.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
We are back, Bart and Han. Weather looks nice today, but when it looks nasty, don't change your plans. Change your wiper blades. Michelin wiper blades use advanced technology to hug your windshield to channel away water, snow, and ice so you can see clearly and drive confidently. Upgrade to Michelin wiper blades at Walmart. Maybe that's what Julius Randle should do when he drives to the basket. Get some wiper blades. Wax on, wax off.
Well, you got to come in like Steven Seagal, right? Come in with your arms flapping and just let it wrap around somebody and arm hook them.
We'll get to the calls here in a moment. Just got word from the NBA as I'm opening up the email right now that you remember in the before free agency, the Bulls and the Heat like immediately signed Lonzo Ball. The Bulls immediately signed Lonzo Ball. The Heat immediately signed Kyle Lowry. They did an investigation. They found both teams had tampered. So they violated league rules governing the timing of the season's free agency discussions. Means tampering. And the league has directed each team's next available second round pick to be forfeited.
Ooh.
So would you give up a second round pick for Kyle Lowry if you were the Heat?
Right, to get your guy.
Hell to the yeah.
Like, you know what?
If you're the Bulls, Lonzo Ball, I'll give you a second round. Yeah, sure. Okay.
I'm like, I'm going to be doing this
a lot more.
A
slap on the wrist, man.
I'm going to be doing this a lot more. So let's just take my next five second round picks, man. Get that out of the way.
Exactly. So there's that. Did you also see, while the New York Islanders have been cleared to return to play, remember, they were shut down for a while. They had a major COVID issue with their team. Wow. Great timing as they opened their new arena. not good. They've lost a ton of games now. But LeBron James has entered the league's health and safety protocols. Mm. So he didn't play last night. The Lakers did beat the Kings. But he is now out for, and again, what the league usually gives a 10-day period that you have to be in isolation before you start being brought back into the group. So if he tested positive for COVID-19, which it seems like he did, now he has said he's vaccinated, so your NBA mandates, again, minimum of 10 days in isolation away from the team, no physical activity. And then after that, you undergo the cardiac screening, reconditioning. So they slowly bring you back. He could miss a big chunk of games. He's already missed a lot of games.
I mean, I just hope that it's not a bad case like Joel Embiid had. Joel Embiid said
he struggled.
When you said you didn't think you were going to make it, man, that's mean you had some nights, man, where you just had to fight and battle through, man. And
Anthony Davis said I think he's asymptomatic, which is a good sign, but we want to make sure he gets back. Health is important. This is bigger than basketball. Vogel wouldn't say what about the symptoms or anything like that, but AD seemed to already reveal that. So he's LeBron's missed 12 so far of the 23 games they've played because of injuries, the one-game suspension.
Might be a good thing.
And they're 5-7 without him.
Yeah, but
that's
saying,
not a good
thing.
What I'm
saying, it may be a good, like, because if he wants to be the road warrior, want to be the guy that's the million-dollar man that's going to play every game, he's going to fizzle out by the, you know, he's going to fizzle out by the.
Man, there's nothing good about this.
I'm talking about the injuries.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about they need to put him on a minutes restriction and figure out how to let the Brody go to work.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You got it. Low management.
In his absence, Westbrook has to start saying, "This is my team," and let me start figuring out some chemistry with Anthony Davis.
And then you do it. Where, listen, it's all Jedi mind tricks, right?
Is it?
Like, what happens is when LeBron comes back, you start Westbrook, but then I think you bring LeBron James to the bench early.
What?
Listen, this is what I'm saying. You bring LeBron James to the bench early.
Okay.
Let the Brody go crazy. He feels good about himself. Then bring LeBron in. So really, your real starting.
They're never really on the court together,
right? And you start LeBron in the second quarter. Tell the Brody to come rest and let LeBron finish out in the pivotal times. Like, make sure you close out the half right.
I got
then
you.
Then start them all again. Let LeBron.
I see what you do. Yeah, you know I see what you're saying on that one, on that front. But first thing they got to do is get him back. And in the meantime, Russell Westbrook might be playing for his future in L.A. He's home. He wanted to be home. L.A. is home to him, but. A lot of people that I talk to
trade him
suggest that if it's not a good fit, when we get to December 15th, they could start shopping him around to get him out of here. Can you imagine him on his fourth team in 5 years? Like,
keep an eye on that story. We know LeBron. He will dump you quickly. He kiss Kuzman on the cheek. Montrezl Harrell, I respect you. Thank you for what you did. You was a great opponent when
you
were with the Clippers. Like, you know what, man? He got to go.
Yeah. Well, again, we know how much influence that he has on that franchise.
We thought Montrezl Harrell couldn't play no more.
Yeah. And
we thought he was done. Like,
we're learning in Washington,
into?
He's very much still that same player. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to the calls. We got Scott in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick points. First and foremost, I want to say you both made some poignant points about the Knicks. But last night, I think, like, it was a little problem. I think, for one, Julius Randle has established himself as a credible player in the league, so he should be getting some of the calls. He's not a star, but he established himself from last year. Secondly, everybody keeps talking about this, making the fourth round again. The whole East has gotten better, so right. I wish everybody to stop talking about that. And I don't think that foul was a foul with Mitchell Robinson.
Scott, I watched it back several times.
He came down over
second
his arm.
Angle.
He lost the ball before
Scott, you know, I've known you a long time. I appreciate you, man, but you got to trust me on this one. The baseline camera shows he clearly hits. Yeah,
he came down. All he had to do was
hold his
hand up.
He hits the other arm,
and he's turned sideways.
And then he makes contact with the ball, and by then he already made the arm contact. It's one you. Okay. I mean, yeah, sometimes you could say, do you call it in that moment? Do you make that call?
Same one with Kevin Durant and Rose on the elbow, right? Same thing, right? It's just enough. You have to call it, but you know, it's one of those things. Right? And listen, is Julius Randle, has he earned that right? No more than Ja Morant. And Ja Morant doesn't get a lot of calls, right? Like, I would put Julius Randle's stardom, like, right there with Ja Morant, who's a young guy, but he's going to get the superstar calls because he's a superstar. Julius Randle's a star.
And that's the difference.
But that's like saying Michael Porter got to get the call.
Look, it was a two-point game, and one team had two superstars, and your team didn't.
Yeah.
Your team had depth. So, you know, they're not even, but it was a well-played game, and I missed it because I was too miserable to enjoy it. Yes. Jeff is in Brooklyn. I can't wait for this.
Hey,
Jeff.
What's up, Alan? We long time no here, man. I just want to make my point. I'm gonna take your response off.
No here. Why is it no here? You're supposed to be here.
Yeah.
We own every day. What
we
you mean
every
no here?
Day in New York.
I listen, but I haven't called Alan in a while.
Okay.
I haven't talked to Alan since the Nets signed KD. I told Alan that the Knicks was getting them. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make this point. Between Allen and Stephen A. Smith, y'all need to stop this about the Knicks are rich. You guys are nowhere near the Lakers or the Celtics. I'm 41. Knicks haven't done nothing
what
for New York
City. Stop what? What are
Why
we stopping?
Well,
no, Jeff,
saying
what
that
are we
the Knicks
stopping?
Are,
what's there to stop?
We're just talking about
you
the
guys
brand.
Speak on
stop
the
what?
Knicks. You guys speak on the Knicks as if they're the Lakers or the Celtics. They got a rich history. You guys don't have that. You haven't done anything since the early 70s.
But again, I'm wondering, what are you, Jeff, what are you talking about? Like, what? We talk about them like they have a rich history. About them because they're, A, the most valued franchise in the league, and B, have one of the biggest fan bases in the league. So you talk about them just like you talk about the Cowboys. How long has it been since the Cowboys won anything?
Or the Bulls.
How long has it been since the Cowboys won anything? But the Cowboys are the most popular team in the NFL, and so you talk about them because a lot of people care about them. Same thing goes for the Knicks.
Okay.
I mean, how was the building last night? How was the Wait, Jeff. How was the building last night? Was that a home game for the Nets?
I'm
neutral on this one, right? Because like I said, I'm a Pistons fan. But you heard James Harden even address the fact that he heard a lot of Knicks fans in there. He understood that's just what it is.
I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying.
So when you say to me, stop talking about the Knicks, I talk about them because they have that much.
So are we talking about championships or a market? When you guys
It's both.
Well, how many championships have the Nets won? How many?
We don't talk like that, though. We don't act like that. It's the Knicks fan.
Oh, you don't? You want to check my timeline? You want to check my timeline?
Listen, I'm neutral, right? So I'm the neutral person in this, right? And what you have to understand is the same way we talk about the franchises, when you talk about franchise and organizations, you have to speak on them since their existence, their inception, right? And the Knicks at one point was one of the hottest teams.
Well, the original franchise.
Exactly. So when you think about it, like the Bulls haven't won anything since Jordan left. But they're still one of those franchises, right? And they still can boast because
it's a brand name. Jeff, I'll leave it like this. First of all, I love how selective you are because that's what makes me laugh. You're very selective in what you say because all I've ever said is how good the fact that the Nets have KD and Harden. I have talked about that ad nauseum. I have warned the Knicks even when that first happened, and I have said that this is a dangerous time right now. I have always talked about that, and I have said this team should win a championship when you have that kind of star talent. I've never, ever denied any of that. But I've also known that when I talk about the Nets, there's like no reaction, no interest, no nothing. If I say one thing about the Knicks, the phone lines light up, my Twitter lights up, and everybody goes crazy. So you understand, too, what I'm doing. That's a brand. And it's a big difference. So until that, I get that same reaction out of the Nets, why would I give them that much energy when I don't get that energy back? I feed off the energy, Jeff. So that's why when you call, you give me energy. I love it. And I love the back and forth that we have.
I
appreciate you, man. We got
to
go.
Call from different lines and different names.
It's all good. But like the point is like when it's like you and Stephen A. have to stop talking about the Knicks like they're so.
No, you have
we
to.
We talk about them because it's just like talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah, you say something about the Cowboys.
The Yankees haven't won in 10 years. You talk about the Yankees. Like you talk about certain franchises and certain brands because people love them and care about them and want to react to them. And that's where we are right now. We got more of your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN.
I thought we was friends, Alex.
729-3776. What did I do?
I gazed up and looked at myself in the camera.
What happened?
Lips looked like Tyrone Biggums, man. My lips were so damn ashy.
I didn't notice.
Man,
it's not like I look at your lips.
I can feel that medication.
Listen to me. Listen.
I can feel that medication.
When we talk, I look at your – we go right here. I'm in your eyes.
I need you to use your peripheral, man.
I'm not going – what's up with his lip? I'm not doing that to you.
I gazed to the right like, what in the hell?
Well, you took care of that business.
Like I ate some bottled donuts.
I didn't notice.
Oh, my lips are so thirsty.
The clock's ticking on this segment. Also clicking on Major League Baseball's collective bargaining agreement. Can a deal be struck to avoid a messy lockout? Probably not. We'll give you the latest details. And what the Mets are doing still coming up next. But first, Bart's going to tell you about Vivid Seats.
With the safe return to live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats Reward, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. That's Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Back after this.
Bart and Han.
Back, Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. All right, Bart, so the clock is ticking. We have under 12 hours now to go before Major League Baseball and the Players Union have to either come up with an agreement or the owners will lock out the players. And so that basically means that Free agency stops, all business stops, and the league shuts down. And the battle now ensues. So while that's going on, and you know it's always about money, we're wondering, okay, when we do finally get on the other side of this thing, what are some things that you would want to see? Because you know how it goes. You get a new CBA, and there's always like these little, all right, well,
yeah,
we're going to give you this, we'll give you that. Like, all right, we're going to give into this, but you got to give us that, right? So it does tend to change the league a little bit and change the game. So what things would we want to see as part of a new collective bargaining agreement? What would we want the players to agree to and the owners to agree to? Would you want to see universal designated hitter?
I do. I need that. Yeah, because I need Dom Smith to be
it's always about you and Dom Smith.
I need him to be good. I need him to be good no matter what league he's in.
Right.
I just think that's good, right? Because we don't. Nobody wants to see pitchers getting injured or guys pulling hamstrings.
What about Shohei Ohtani?
No, but
so you don't get.
It don't matter. They can just put him in the lineup. It could be a special exception for him. Like, I mean, he's a white whale. He's never going to be there.
Well, you have a DH. You just have him pitch.
Right.
I mean, have him hit. That's what basically the Angels have done. But there are some that can hit. I mean, Jacob DeGrom can hit.
Yeah, but how many times have we seen him getting hurt, right? We worry about him getting hit on the elbow. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you want less out of Jacob DeGrom.
Well, you want more offense, and that kind of helps.
Yeah, exactly, right?
All right. How about do we want to expand the playoffs even more?
No.
You added the extra wild card. You want it even more? Get like half the league like you have in the NBA and the NHL?
No, because it's a battle of attrition. Some guys can get hot, and I think the best team won't win. You'll get some lucky team that upsets a big team. No, we won't.
That's not fun?
I want
more markets involved?
No, what I want is I want the regular season to matter, right? I want the regular season to matter. I don't want a team to get lucky or some stuff like that because they play the Orioles 25 times a game or somebody like that, and then they get in.
And, it's a shot at the
Rays. All that stuff. So, I mean, I definitely also would love to see a pitch clock because I need the game to speed up.
A pitch clock?
I want to see a pitch clock. I don't want guys, I think.
Like a shot clock in the NBA or a play clock in the NFL.
Yeah.
But a pitch clock in baseball, you got a certain amount of time. You got to get back to the play.
Yeah, call it the Sonny Gray rule, right? If you watch the baseball games in like the 70s and 80s, the game went by so much faster, right?
Oh, yeah, 2 hours.
I need reservation baseball.
But is it always on the pitcher? Because when it's a pitch clock, it should also affect the batter. You can't step out of the box.
You got to fix your glove
every
pitch.
Time.
Like, bro, you didn't even swing.
Was it Victor Martinez? That guy just went through. Untied his shoe.
It gets on my nerve. It's like a tick. Like,
all right, one last one that I think is going to be an interesting one here. Salary cap.
Nah, we don't want
I mean, they have the luxury tax in place.
Yeah, luxury tax.
But there's not many teams that are going to pay it. A lot of the Yankees like to stay away. They don't want to go over it.
Right.
They're one of the highest spending teams in the league.
This would be done for the Dodgers. This is the Dodgers
that
rule.
Suppresses spending, though.
Yeah, which keeps player salaries down.
So it's not really an effective. Listen, it is a salary cap, but not really. It's a soft cap.
People used to hate the Raiders because they would blindly, dumbly pay people.
Yeah.
But players loved it because it raised the ceiling for that.
That's
so
right.
We need the Mets. We need the Mets and the Dodgers to reset the markets over and over again. Because now Shohei Ohtani's like, I need 43 for my pitching or a 40 and I need 50 for my
Rays are showing you that you can win without overspending.
Exactly.
You can still be a team that's competitive without
They just traded somebody to the Marlins, didn't they?
So we'll see what happens, but it doesn't look good for a lockout. It does look good for us to be back. In 10 seconds, Barton Hahn, ESPN Plus.
Meh.
Welcome back, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Tim Hasselbeck going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Get into some NFL. We want you to listen to Man in the Arena, the podcast, the 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. Brought to you by ZipRecruiter and available wherever you get your podcast. There's something about Man in the Arena that I watched that I do want to talk to you about at some point in this show. And maybe we'll do it with Hasselbeck, actually,
because it's
a really interesting look in what he says that kind of and has nothing to do with Mac Jones, but it has a lot to do with why Mac Jones is thriving right now. So we'll discuss that coming up. But Major League Baseball, the clock is ticking. We're now under 12 hours before the league will shut down if they cannot come to an agreement. Now, the reports are that at noon, the sides got back together to meet again to see if they can try to at least drive some momentum and see if they could come to an agreement on some of the issues that they have. And we'll see if that begins. Players like Andrew Miller, Zach Britton, they're all part of this discussion. It rarely happens that they get it done in the 11th hour. And that's kind of where we're getting to at this point. So it looks like we'll have a lockout. And with that in mind, the Mets at 1 o'clock, which is, you know, again, in about 9 minutes, they're going to have a Zoom call with Steve Cohen, with Sandy Alderson, with Billy Epler, their new GM, and Max Scherzer. So isn't it funny how they're going to lock out with a lot of disagreements, of course. It's always over money.
Yeah.
Moments after a team signs a 37-year-old pitcher to a record contract.
Everybody looking at the Mets like, thanks a lot, dummies.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like there's something ironic about that.
You have to take advantage of that because it was the pressure that the fact that, you know, it was going to be a lockout that Scherzer had to kind of make a decision, right? Because he don't want to be on the other side of it. He wanted to make sure that he
can. And the Mets had to make a decision because they didn't want to wait. Get our guy. Let's get our guy while we can. And how about this? The Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Boston Red Sox, the three highest spending teams in the league, haven't spent a dime. They haven't done anything.
But they're close, right? They just need finishing pieces. They don't need.
Or they want to see what's the system going to look like on the other side, because those are the franchises closest to the luxury tax threshold. They're the ones that don't want to have to pay that tax. They will, but they don't want to. All right, coming up, are the Cowboys on the verge of a collapse? We'll ask our next guest. Coming up next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.